Today is the 19th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is always fantastic to be here together around the global campfire, gathering and taking the next step forward together. And so it is a joy to be here with you today. And our next step forward leads us back into the drama that we have going in the book of 1 Samuel. The drama between King Saul and David, who is the king's son-in-law at this point, but who is also a fugitive on the run trying to stay alive at this point, as King Saul does everything in his power to try to find, locate, and kill David. And so let's pick up the story. 1 Samuel 24 and 25 today. When Saul had returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, "Here's some news. David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 specially chosen men from all Israel and went to hunt for David and his men along the rocky slopes of the wild goats. Saul came to some sheep pens that were along that route. Saul went into a cave that was there to relieve himself. At that time, David and his men were far back in the interior of the cave. David's men said to him, "Look, this is the day the Lord told you about when he said, 'I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you will do to him whatever seems good to you.'" So David got up and cut off the edge of Saul's robe without being noticed. Afterward, David had a guilty conscience because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "May I be cursed if I do something like this to my master, who is the Lord's anointed, that I would stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." With these words, David restrained his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. Saul got up, left the cave, and went on his way. David got up and followed him out of the cave and shouted to him, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked back at him, David bowed face down to the ground to show respect. David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of people who say, 'Watch out, David is seeking to harm you'? This very day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you because I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed.' Take a look at this. My father, take a good look at the piece of your robe that is here in my hand. Because I cut off the edge of your robe but did not kill you, you can be sure that I do not have any evil intent and I am not rebelling. I have not sinned against you, even though you keep hunting for me to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand will not be against you. As the ancient proverb says, 'Out of the wicked come wicked deeds.' But my hand will not be against you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? What are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord therefore be the judge who renders a verdict between you and me. May he examine my case, plead my cause, and deliver me out of your hand." When David had finished speaking these words, Saul responded, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" Saul broke down and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have made it clear today how you have been good to me, because when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. If a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away unharmed? May May the Lord reward you with good for what you have done for me today. Now I know without a doubt that you will become king, and that the kingship over Israel will be established in your hand. So swear to me now by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." David promised this to Saul with an oath. Saul went back home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Samuel died. All Israel gathered together and mourned for him. They buried him at his house in Ramah. Then David set out and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon who made his livelihood in Carmel. This man was very wealthy. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep at Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. This woman had good judgment and was beautiful, but her husband was a harsh, unbending man who behaved badly. He was from the family line of Caleb. In the wilderness, David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men and told them, "Go up to Carmel, approach Nabal and wish him peace in my name. Tell him this, 'Long life to you, peace be with you, peace be with your household, peace be with all that you have. Now I hear that you are shearing sheep. Your shepherds have recently been with us, and we did not harm them. Nothing was missing from them the whole time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor with you, for we have come on a good day. Please give whatever you can to your servants and to your son David.'" So David's men came and said all those things to Nabal in the name of David. When they had finished, Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are so many servants breaking away from their masters these days. Should I take my bread, my water, and my meat that I have butchered for my shearers and give it to men who I do not know where they come from?" So David's men left and went on their way. They came back and told David all these things. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So every man strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. About 400 men followed David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. One of Nabal's young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Listen to me. You need to know what happened. David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. Those men have been very good to us, and we have not been harmed, nor have we had anything missing the entire time we were in the countryside with them. They were a wall around us, night and day, the whole time we were among them while we were taking care of the sheep. So carefully consider what you should do, for they are determined to bring disaster on our master and on his entire household, since he is such a worthless good-for-nothing that no one can talk to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 containers of wine, 5 sheep that were already prepared, 1 bushel of roasted grain, 100 clumps of raisins, and 200 cakes of dried figs. She loaded these supplies on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on ahead of me. I will follow right after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she rode on her donkey and came down to the secluded trail on the mountain, she saw that David and his men were coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "It was all for nothing that I have protected everything that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing from everything that belonged to him. But he has repaid me evil for good. May God punish the enemies of David severely and double it, if by the morning light I leave alive so much as one person who urinates against a wall." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got off her donkey. She bowed down and fell face down on the ground in David's presence. She fell at his feet and said, "To me, my lord, charge the guilt to me. Please let your servant speak to you. Listen to the words of your servant. Please, my lord, do not pay attention to this worthless good-for-nothing Nabal, for he is exactly what his name suggests. Nabal is his name, and foolishness is never far from him. But I, your servant, did not see my lord's young men whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from the guilt of bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil against my lord be like Nabal. Please distribute this gift that I, your servant, have brought to my lord for the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make an enduring house for my lord, because my lord is fighting the Lord's battles. May no evil be found in you all your days. Though men may rise up to pursue you and seek your life, may the life of my lord be safely wrapped up in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away like a stone from the pocket of a sling. Then when the Lord has done for my lord all the good things that he has spoken concerning you, and he has appointed you leader over Israel, you will not be burdened by grief or a guilty conscience because you, my lord, have shed blood without cause or have avenged yourself. Then, when the Lord has dealt well with you, my lord, remember your servant." David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Your good judgment is blessed, and you are blessed, because today you have kept me from the guilt of shedding blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For truly, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, certainly by the morning light there would not have been left for Nabal so much as one person who urinates against a wall." So David received from her hand what she had brought for him. Then he said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. You see, I have listened to your voice and have shown you favor." Abigail came to Nabal and saw that he was holding a feast in his house, a feast fit for a king. Nabal was in good spirits because he had drunk a lot. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had worn off for Nabal, his wife told him about these things, and his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has passed judgment on Nabal's insults against me and has kept his servant from doing evil. The Lord has returned the evil done by Nabal back on his own head." Then David sent messengers to make arrangements with Abigail for him to take her as his wife. When David's servants came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her and said, "David has sent us to you to bring you to him as his wife." She got up and bowed down with her face to the ground. She said, "Behold, I, your humblest servant, am here, ready to wash the feet of the servants of my lord." Abigail hurried and set out, riding on a donkey, with 5 young women who were her attendants following her. She went with the messengers of David and became his wife. David also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, so they both became his wives. But Saul gave his daughter Michal, who was David's wife, to Palti, son of Laish, who was from Galim. John 10, 22 through 42. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple area in Solomon's colonnade. So the Jews gathered around Jesus asking, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" "We are not going to stone you for a good work," the Jews answered, "but for blasphemy. Because although you are a man, you make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called those people gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart and sent into the world? Do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? If I am not doing the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I am doing them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you will know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." So they tried to arrest him again, but he eluded their grasp. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he stayed there. Many came to him and were saying, "John never did a miraculous sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. Psalm 116. Deliverance from death. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He hears my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call to him all my days. The ropes of death entangled me. The walls of the grave hemmed me in. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. "Ah, Lord, please save my life." The Lord is gracious and righteous, and our God is compassionate. The Lord protects the inexperienced. In my weakness, he saves me too. Return, my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has accomplished his purpose for you. Indeed, you have delivered my soul from death, my eye from weeping, my foot from stumbling, so that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I am greatly afflicted. In my haste I said, "All people are deceptive. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his favored ones. Ah, Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You opened my chains. To you I will sacrifice a thank offering, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord, here in the presence of all his people. in the courtyards of the house of the Lord, in the middle of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 20 and 21. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish person despises his mother. Stupidity delights a person who lacks sense, but one who has understanding stays on course. Okay, so in 1 Samuel today, well, a couple of things. First of all, Samuel died, and he was buried at his house in Ramah, and everybody mourned for him. And that's all we're told. Samuel died. All Israel gathered together and mourned for him. They buried him at his house in Ramah. There isn't a lot of pageantry about it in the Bible. It's just that Samuel being the last judge of Israel and a prophet of God, we should at least take a moment here and say, okay, so Samuel has passed from the story, and we're moving on without this prophetic voice of Samuel in Saul's life or in David's life. But we have kind of journeyed with Saul and David. We saw the whole thing unfold. We saw how David got famous. We saw how paranoid Saul got about David. And we've been watching David be on the run, doing everything he can to protect his family, but just trying to stay alive as Saul pursues him. Today, we sort of turn a corner in that story. And now the character of the two men is becoming very, very clearly apparent. It's becoming clearly apparent to us, the readers of the scriptures, as we read the story. But it was also becoming very apparent to those who were near David and observing him. So one of the scenes that we experienced today, in today's reading, was that Saul and his men are hiding near the oasis of En-Gedi. The oasis of En-Gedi is a place until this very day, and it's quite near the Dead Sea. So we are in the desert. We are very near the Dead Sea. We are really near the lowest point on Earth, below sea level, which is the Dead Sea. And the oasis of En-Gedi just is a fresh water source in the desert. It's running down from Jerusalem toward the lowest point on Earth. And so there's a water source there. And there are caves all throughout that area, all over that area, and continuing further north and south of En-Gedi. So just a little north of En-Gedi would be like the caves of Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. So there's caves all over this area. But the fresh water source of En-Gedi would have been necessary. So David is hiding in the caves of En-Gedi. And we were just there not too long ago. And there are photographs of En-Gedi in Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible, the picture book from the land of the Bible. En-Gedi is covered in the Promised Land film, so you can kind of go see all this for yourself. But this is the place where we locate ourselves in today's reading. The king, King Saul, has elite troops hunting David, searching for David, and the king is leading them. They're trying to find David and his men to kill him. David's hiding in a cave with his men. Saul's got to go to the bathroom. This is a funny, really, really funny story to me in its own way because of what's just not being said here. Saul's with his elite troops. If he's got to go to the bathroom, he'll just go to the bathroom. Unless he needs some privacy, and he needs some privacy. So he needs a little privacy to do his business, his royal business. And so he goes into a cave, as the scriptures tell us, to relieve himself. And David and his men are in the back of the cave. And so Saul comes into the cave, right? Probably takes his robe off or whatever, sets it aside or whatever, moves it around. However, Eddie squats down and he's doing his business. And this is being observed and witnessed. And he doesn't know that. And so here is David with his mortal enemy, with his trousers around his ankles, basically, like completely vulnerable. He could be killed so easily. And David creeps up behind the king as the king is focusing his attention on what he's doing, and David is able to cut off a little square, a little patch off the king's robe and retreat back into the cave. And the king finishes up what he's doing and adjusts himself and gets ready and goes back out to lead his men. And that's when David comes out of the cave. My father, right? King Saul, he calls to the king. And there is a small discussion. David is essentially saying, what do you think you're going to win if you kill me? Am I more valuable than a dead dog or a flea? Who am I? You are the king. Who am I? And what have I done? In what way have I sinned against you? In what way have I been disloyal to our nation? In what way have I sinned against God's anointed, the King of Israel? And that's when David reveals that he had cut off a patch from Saul's robe. And he tells him, the Lord delivered you into my hand. You could be dead right now. Literally, you've been searching and searching everywhere, high and low, to find me to kill me. And you could be dead right now. With your blank eyes staring at the ceiling of a cave, you could be dead. You were delivered into my hand, but I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. Everybody is seeing this. These elite troops of Israel are seeing this. David's men are seeing this. The king is remorseful and repents in this moment. He is seeing this. He confesses that he's seeing this. And so this is a moment in the story where observing the character and the actions of these people is important as we understand where the pathways of Saul and David lead. David has led with character, and it's being seen, and it's going to matter. It's actually going to matter a lot as we continue forward in this story. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for stories like this that intertwine lives and pathways are forged. And we see where the road leads, and we see where the actions lead. And we see the character of people and where their lives take them. Holy Spirit, come and shine the light of truth into our own hearts, into our own character. Illuminate the path that we are walking as we observe the paths that Saul and David are walking. And show us the narrow path that leads to life, the only path we want to be walking. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is, of course, the website. And that's where you can find out what's happening around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will do that and more in the palm of your hand, and you can find the app and download it free from your app store, whatever app store works with your phone or tablet. Just search for Daily Audio Bible, and you can get it from there. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a lot of different categories there with resources for the journey that we are on as a community. Whether that be stuff to wear, just kind of wear your colors and support your community, or whether that be things to take the journey deeper. You can check out the resources available in the shop section on the website or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Humbly, we wouldn't We wouldn't be a global campfire if we didn't throw logs on the fire. And thankfully, this is burning bright and there is a place for us every day, step by step, day by day. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Dab family. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and King. I just heard a call from our sister, Blessed Assurance, from the Midwest. And your testimony and praise about just having rain come in, it just touched me because the realization of rain being a blessing is within itself a blessing, because we get numb to the blessings that God showers upon us. We get entitled to it. And man, if rains all the time, people complain about the rain, but there are people in this world who need rain to survive, to eat. And thank you for sharing that. And I will continue praising God with you, my sister. I do challenge the rest of us to open our eyes, look around, enjoy the sound of the birds. I told my husband, when I grew up during the war, we couldn't hear any sounds of birds. That was like, I said, you hear the bird sounds, that's a sign of peace. It's a sign of peace. And so like these little things, praise God. Praise God for everything that he's given to us. Rain, sunshine, smiles, other people, food, shelter, strength. Just praise Jesus. All right. I love you all, and thank you so much, Blessed Assurance, for that praise report. Bye.
Hey, everybody. You can call me Stonewalker on the Palouse, and I just want to say this year has been a challenge, and it's the first year I've taken this daily audio Bible seriously, and I have been pretty faithful so far, and I'm liking it, but I just want to reach out to you guys and ask for your prayers. I am young man with a wife and a son, but I've had a complicated relationship with alcohol. I'd like to give it up, and I don't know how, and it scares me because I feel an emotional dependency that is very hard to break, and I know that God wants more for me and for anybody who has this issue, so just want to ask for your prayers, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Hello, DAB family. This is my first time calling. I'm calling in from North Carolina. I'm too shy yet to get my name. Well, Father, all I'm asking is for prayer for my family. I want to bring my family closer together, and I want prayer for peace in the world, for those people in Ukraine going through what they're going through, Father God, and all the gun shootings of children, the elderly, all over, the banks, schools, hospitals. You're not safe any place you go anymore, the markets. But most of all, I just want my family to be closer together. Thank you.
Hi, family. This is Brandon from Texas, and I want to pray for Prisoner of Hope and her son, AJ. Heavenly Father, I just come before you on behalf of my amazing sister, Prisoner of Hope. Lord, she is your child, and she is your faithful child, continuously praying for us and I'm sure others in her life, Lord, and she is a mighty prayer warrior on behalf of this community for sure. And Lord, we just come in agreement with her, just asking for your divine touch in her son AJ's life, Lord. There's just incredible struggles that he has gone through and the challenges that he faces, Lord. And he's trying to win this battle over alcoholism and the other struggles he has in his life with his own strength, Lord. And that's just very exhausting. And we thank you and we give you praise that he's been sober since January, Lord. But he needs you. He needs your power. He needs your touch in a powerful way, Lord, that would just absolutely change the trajectory of his life and the effectiveness of his life, Lord. We just ask that you embrace him, that you heal him, that you give him peace, and that you give him your strength and your power, and let him walk forward in that, Lord. And I just ask your abundant blessings on Prisoner of Hope and all of the needs in her life. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray.
Good morning, everybody. It's Godsmile here. Testimony time. When I was young, my mum would put me on diets. She would say, I'm eating too much. And then she would feed me up. And round and round that circle went. And then I developed eating disorders, bulimia, and in and out of anorexia for 30 plus years. I met Peter in all that mess. I would self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. And I don't know why Peter didn't run a mile. Once the bulimia had stopped, which was a very long time, the weight came on because I didn't know how to eat. And my body was grabbing all that food also, the energy. And to the point of last year, well, let's jump to that. Blood pressure was high, struggling with asthma. Diabetes was sky high. My HbA1c was 101. And the doctor threatened to put me on injections. So yesterday we went to the consultant and he said, Helen, would you like to know your HbA1c? I said, yes, please. He said, it's 58. So I've lost 3 stone. Got more to go. But the diabetic tablet, one of them has stopped. The other one is halved. My blood pressure has gone and it's tablet. And the asthma has disappeared. Isn't God good? It's a struggle to lose weight, and I don't know why it took me 56 years to get here, but praise God, hey, I know he's in it. I knew from the start of trying to lose weight, this was God. I want to encourage you, don't give up. I don't know why we wait, but praise God. Kiss, kiss.